The apostles in the book of Acts were living in a dispensational change. There was a slow changing from a predominantly Jewish church to a Gentile church. In the book of Acts, any scholar in the book of Acts will realize that it has a very sudden ending. Actually, it is a proper ending. Prophetically, it's trying to tell us this. That in Acts 1, when it started, there were more Jews than Gentiles. In fact, there were no Gentiles, except proselytes. But when the book of Acts ended in Acts 28, there were more Gentile Christians than Jews. And there was a statement made in Acts 28 about what is happening among the Jewish nation. How their eyes are closed. Their heart is hardened. And this is a statement that James is making here. That God is visiting among the Gentiles. And with these words, the prophets agree just as is written. After this, he says, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. So notice what James is saying here to the understanding of the Jerusalem Council people here in Acts 15. He's saying God is going to the Gentiles. One day God will return back to the Jews, which we all know in prophecy, the 7-year period that is not completed yet. After the Gentile age, shoop, he comes back to the 7-year period and then the end. So that's the dispensation we live in. Now what we need to understand is that the book of Ruth is a tremendous book. Because the book of Ruth prophetically talks especially about what God is doing in the last of the last days. Some things. And that is why from chapter 1, it begins of all those things that God was doing in the book of Acts, here He was doing. Because you notice that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, He began to take up a church, a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the time that the Holy Spirit came down in the book of Acts chapter 2, the bride was being prepared by the Holy Spirit to be drawn back to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And it all took place after Jesus Christ had died on a cross and he has gone home. To the throne in heaven. And the apostles were all very sad. And Jesus said, you should not be sad because I'm going to send another comforter. He says, it's much more expedient for you that I go. Because if I don't go, he cannot come. He told them in the Gospel of John. And so here in Ruth chapter 1, we see the return and the going back. And you notice that there will be two responses among the Gentiles. One response will be the Opa response. That is, follow partially, but not all the way. And you notice that Opa does not represent those who are born again and then rejected the Lord. No, they don't at all. You know why? Because in Ruth chapter 1, in verse 15, Naomi says, look, your sister in law, representing Opa, has gone back to her people, and notice the second statement, and to her gods. In other words, she has never left her gods. So it's representative of those who do not come to the Lord. It's not talking about people who are going to be lost in the last days or things like that. They do not. But there's going to be what I call a purifying, a shaking, as the Holy Spirit began to draw the bride back to the bridegroom. You remember what Jesus Christ said about how in the time of the harvest come, He told the parable of the wheat and the tares. And then they're going to remove the tares, but He said, don't remove the tares yet. Wait until when the harvest time, then you remove the tares, because it's ready to cut down. So we know that there is an organized church. And we praise God that many have been born again. But we also know that within the organized church, some people may not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Going to church doesn't make us a Christian. Just like going to a car park doesn't make us a car. It is a personal relationship with the Lord that makes us a believer and a Christian. So there is the organized church and there is a spiritual church. But it is also wrong for us to be judgmental. And there are extreme, you know, extreme groups that many times on one extreme group, the extreme Pentecostal always think that the Catholics are the Antichrist. And the extreme Catholics think that the Pentecostals are really the Antichrist too. They left us. They left the fold. So what we realize is the balanced picture is in the middle. I mean, there are great denominations and there may be a lot of things not fully in line with the word in various places, in various organizations. But the most important thing is as long as there are people who have a personal relationship with the Lord, we need to praise God for that. And remember this, you don't change people by running them down. You don't change organizations by running them down. One of the greatest psychological truths that pediatricians have learned today is that you mold a child through affirming their best skills. In other words, the child responds better when they have done something right and you say, that's wonderful. And it becomes a faster habit in their life. Then they enjoy doing the right thing. They have found that it's more effective than to say, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do this? They have discovered truths that are all the time in the Bible because God speaks what we are supposed to be. Think about our Father God. Think about the church of Jesus Christ in the whole world today. I'm sure the bride of Jesus is not perfected yet. I'm very sure of that. And do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on His throne up there and is waiting for the wedding, marriage supper of the Lamb? And He's looking down there and the Father is there and He looks, He sees the bread not ready. He says, why like that? Father, please postpone the wedding. Right, the bride of Jesus Christ is not ready yet. He doesn't do that. I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ is not trying to get the Father to postpone the wedding. Say, you know, don't let me come yet. No. But what Jesus Christ is saying, you know, when He's up there, He's interceding for the church to be perfected. And He's doing all He can to prepare the church. And He's speaking life to the church. He's speaking life to the church. And many times He keeps saying what the church can be, affirming the right things. So here in the book of Ruth, you have Orpah representing those who did not respond to God, and Ruth representing those who respond to God. Her response was not only to Naomi, but her response was this, in verse 16, your God shall be my God. That's the salvation part. So in Ruth chapter 1, we see the beginnings and the establishment of the church of Jesus Christ. And Naomi now going with Ruth back. Immediately, in verse 18, it says, she stopped speaking. Do you notice that? When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. She didn't persuade her to go away anymore. But she just let her follow. In other words, Ruth is just following Naomi all the way back to a land that she has never been before. To a place that she has never seen before. To a culture that she has never lived through before. Everything is new to her. And so there is Ruth coming back to all these areas representing the church, going back and beginning to take a new walk in God. See, that's what has happened personally in our lives when you come to know the Lord. All these things, the Bible is strange to us, the church pews are strange to us, the people also strange to us. Even the preacher up there looks strange to us. So, everything looks strange and the people do things differently, you know. And they keep saying hallelujah all the time. And when they meet you, they say praise the Lord. You look at them, why, what, who, where? Everything is strange. No, joining Christianity is like joining almost a new culture. But yet we preserve our traditions, you know, wherever they are still in line with the Word. And so here, we realize that there's Ruth going to a new culture, a new environment, everything is new. It's the new walk of the church. The Holy Spirit bringing new things. Where before you never learned to pray, now you learn to pray. And before you never know such a thing as devotional life, now you know there's devotional life. And Bible reading, all those things. This is chapter 1, all the accumulation of the normal Christian life. And that's just the beginning. But chapter 2 is where the preparation begins. You see, in chapter 2, there are three encounters with Boaz. And that's prophetic of the church. In chapter 2, there are three encounters with Boaz. In the first encounter, we have Ruth meeting first with one of Boaz's servants. And Ruth saying in verse 7, and she said, please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued for morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Now the reapers and the servants of Boaz represents the angels. The angels who are working together with us and for us. You notice what these workers represent. Here, she is going to glean among the harvest. You know what gleaning is? See, during the time of the harvest, they would bundle up the grain that they have cut. But as they cut and bundle them up, there will sure to be some that fall all over the place. And then even as they gather them to their storehouses, there will be more that fall all over the ground. And in the Old Testament, God gave a strange commandment to Moses saying, let those grain that fall remain in the field for the poor. See, God gave all these strange commands that are, you know, helpful. And He cares for those who are poor. He cares for those who are in need. But there's also a prophetic message. Because behind it is the story of Ruth. Just like Paul says, do not muzzle the ox. He's not only concerned for the ox. Of course he's concerned for the ox. But he says, not only that, it points that the ox equals preacher. You say, where is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Right? No time to go into that, but that's found inside. But where he put the gleaning is, see, who dropped the gleanings and who did the harvest? The angels. Now here is people, but we're talking in the spiritual language allegorically. And you notice here that the perfection of the church will mean that the church needs to learn to work together with the angels of God. Do you know, you may not realize it, but every blessing you receive, angels have been involved. Every promotion that you receive, and every blessing, I would say literally, even in the natural world, in secular world, the blessings of God come on people. The rain come on the good and on the unjust. The good things happen because of the angels. You can be sure all the wonderful things that happen in the world, there are angels involved. You can also be sure that when the bad things happen, the demons and the devil was involved. You see, Satan is out there stirring problems too.
And we know what Satan can do in stirring evil.